This morning, our reading out of the gospel and for the sermon comes out of the book of Matthew in chapter 1, starting at verse 1, going to about verse 18. In this passage of scripture, if we were reading out of the King James Version, we could call this the begat section, and that's a genealogy. And in King James, it often would say, you know, Isaac, you know, begat Jacob, and so forth and so on. I'm not reading from King James today because I hit a point reading it where I struggle in following. But there's a lot here in this genealogy. The names here, you know, represent a part of the family history of Jesus, a part of the history of the Jewish people and our history as well. So I invite us to hear these words, hear this genealogy, starting there at verse 1 of chapter 1 of Matthew's Gospel. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Aminadab, and Aminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon was the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jehoconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eluid, and Eluid the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I will admit, after reading all that, I'm glad we don't greet ourselves with that family history, you know, having to recall such a long, you know, 14 generations here and 14 generations there. But in this time period, I mean, that was not uncommon to use this kind of genealogy to name, you know, who you are, but also your connections. And for us reading this out of Matthew, it's Matthew's way of naming where Jesus fit into the history of the Jewish people and also naming his location in history. Now, a lot of these names, I mean, some are very familiar, such as, you know, Abraham and David and Ruth. We've heard, you know, those names before. Some, not so much. We're not as familiar with some of those names, but they're still a part of that genealogy, that family history of Jesus. Now, I myself, I've been interested in genealogy. I've done some research, you know, looking into family roots and origins. And sometimes, you know, you do this work, you find things that surprise you, might even delight you a little bit. One being on the Swiss side of my family, the family that comes from Switzerland, they were in this nice valley, a Saas-Fee, way up. And today it's a ski resort, just beautiful country. And I wish I had a cousin who still lived there. It'd be nice to go visit them. The other thing I'd found doing some genealogy work that I thought was interesting until I found the whole story here was there was a connection through the Walkers towards the King James III of Scotland. I thought, oh, that's cool. And I told Christina, I said, no, you know, you married in royalty right here. To which she said, because she's way better at history, more of a student of history than I am, she said, well, King James III was murdered because he was a coward and was not liked by the people of Scotland. Like, well, we're not all perfect, you know. So you learn these things. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, interesting kind of on the surface. But when we think about our family histories, though, you know, especially the people that we know who have impacted us, we think about, you know, our family histories, even if we chart them back further, sometimes you can find things that aren't great. Or sometimes there's parts of our family history that we are not proud of, things that can even be painful to think about. And so while it can be interesting to dig deep into our past and look, you can also find that pain and that difficulty as well. And it's not uncommon as a people of faith, one of the barriers that we have to faith, you know, is the self-doubt that is generated by family history, about, you know, where we come from, who we come from, and those things can actually impact our faith today because we can be concerned about that. But here's the good news in this, though, when we think about our family of origin or those who have, you know, we call our family today even, is when we look, you know, into this history of Jesus here, we can find moments that are amazing, things you would love to tell people about. There's parts of this family history that we might describe today as a challenge or might be seen, you know, less than favorably. We look at the history of Jesus here, we see, you know, this deep connection. And there's folks, again, we can know attach to, we know of histories, know a story, such as Abraham, you know, being, you know, the one who have descendants as numerous as the stars. It's no coincidence, I believe, that they've chosen, you know, Abraham to be the start of that, you know, family history. And then you find, you know, other folks in here, such as David, whom, you know, we know who was a great, you know, man after God's own heart, you know, a king who, you know, united the kingdom and did so much for Israel. But we also know that he was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He had done things that were not good. And yet he's still remembered in this family history. There's other folks in here named as well that if we were thinking of how you have to be at a certain status in life or a certain social location in life to be named in the history of Jesus, you know, you'd have to be at a certain status to be in here. Rahab is named in here. And Rahab was the prostitute whom the Israelites got in contact with at Jericho. And through that connection right there, they were able to go in and conquer Jericho. And so in the family history of Jesus, we have a prostitute named here in this story. And then you also have Ruth, whom we have a whole book of the Bible about Ruth's story. It's a wonderful story, one of my favorite stories in all of the Old Testament. But Ruth, if you really dig deep, she was a Moabite. And in this time period of history, even in Ruth's time, and even in this time period when folks would be receiving this for the first time, this kind of history, the Moabites were seen as the people across the river. They were the people on the other side of the tracks. They were not good people. They were people we do not like. But yet Ruth is named in the family history of Jesus. So you can see these things here, things that, you know, perhaps, you know, would excite us about the family history of Jesus. There's some things in here that challenge us about the family history of Jesus. And there's things in here that remind us of how God can be at work really through the lives of anyone who seeks God. I think, believe this is the comforting thing and the thing I find so hopeful in this genealogy, even though it is lengthy, it is long, it can seem burdensome, is that we see how God has been at work at the lives of people you know, throughout all of history, been at work the lives of people, regardless of their status in life, whether they are at a high status all the way to being a king of Israel, or to being at a low status and seen as the other. But we see God at work in all of these people, all, you know, parts of life. And I believe that's important for us as we start this season of Advent, when we think about, you know, where we have come from to where we are going. You know, we're here in this place today, in 2019, but we all have histories. We all have things in our past that we may not be all that proud of. We may have things in our past that we think somehow separates us from the love of God. And some of those things we may say actually define us. But I believe those things that are in that past history, even our family origin story, those things do not define us. Rather, it is how God has been at work in our lives. The grace and the forgiveness that we have received from God through Jesus Christ, that is what defines us as a people. That is what grounds us. That is what gives us life. Because we can start doing that game where we, you know, start ticking the check boxes of all the things that we have done wrong, all those things that we're not proud of. And sometimes we think that God is keeping score of all those things, when in fact God is not. God is interested in us because of our worth, the love that God has for us, and for the grace that we receive from Christ. I believe this can be freeing for us, because we can have a lot of pressure on ourselves in the holiday season. You know, going from Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas, New Year's, and all pressure perhaps to be perfect, to be, you know, an image that is, you know, postcard perfect, so to speak. But really, our God is not interested in perfect people. Our God's interested in faithful people, people who are following Him, following Christ, being shaped by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's why we see in this genealogy of Jesus all kinds of people, all kinds of social locations, all kinds of statuses, all kinds of walks of life present in this genealogy. Because that grace and that love of God is available to all of us, to each and every one of us. And that is what grounds us and defines us. So brothers and sisters, as we go into this season, as we go on for the rest of our lives, I believe we are called to ground ourselves in that kind of family history, one that is defined by the grace of God in our lives, the family history through Christ that connects us back to that love, to that hope, to that new beginning. It's my prayer as we go through this Advent season that we are reminded of that hope and that life and all that we do. That as we go from activity to activity, thing to thing, we don't lose sight of what's important, but instead stay connected and grounded in our Christ who is coming to show us the way now and forevermore. Amen.